Yes.
Chip, the Giants were able to stop Adrian Peterson last week and then Sean McCoy the first time around. What have you seen from them that they were able to do really successfully against them?
I think our scheme and Minnesota's scheme is different, but in our first game with them, their front did a really good job. They've got a couple really big defensive tackles, and they rotate. You know, they got a couple guys in there that can play, and Rodgers, and now you add Joseph to the mix. Patterson had a really good game against us. Cullen Jenkins, another really good player inside. Two defensive ends that kind of post the play, and JPP and Tuck, and then their linebackers are very active. They get off of blocks very well. You know, can shed blocks and then run to the ball carrier. So there's a group of guys that play in the box room, you know, Beeson and Pacinger at linebacker and those defensive linemen that I mentioned that are good football players. So, you know, it's a matter of, it's not really a scheme deal. I think it's a matter of who executes better, you know, whether it be our guys matched up specifically on guys and who can win that one-on-one battle. And that's what this is going to come down to, one-on-one battles across the front in the run game.
So can you tell us about Nick Foles and where he's at?
Yeah, Nick was here today. He worked out with the trainers. He will not practice today. We'll see if he's got to go through a protocol in terms of do that. But he's back. Was at our morning session today and then did some conditioning stuff with our trainers. But until he can get fully cleared, we can't get him out on the practice field.
Has he taken the impact test yet?
Not that I know of.
There's only four healthy. There's only four corners on the roster. Are you confident Fletcher's going to play, and what's the contingency at that spot?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Fletcher's situation. He should practice today, so we feel like we're in good shape there.
With cornerbacks, is a good. Is that a comfortable
one? That's what we have up on game day anyway. So,
with Michael and the way he's progressing, is he on track to be able to go?
He's on track to practice. On track to practice on Thursday.
Do you anticipate knowing today whether he will be
good on Sunday?
Yeah.
No. I don't anticipate that.
When do you, Mike said I think Friday, he's going to sprint. Are you going to do that early in the day or kind of go do it after the...
We haven't talked about that yet. You know, just putting the game plan in, getting right now it's Mike and Matt getting them comfortable with what we're doing, and then we'll see where Mike is. Mike had a good day yesterday running around, but again, it's how do you respond the next day? You know, we lifted this morning, so, you know, I'll check with our strength and conditioning coaches. What was he like in the lifting session? You know, do we have any pain? Where are we from that standpoint? So,
do you feel that today and going forward you might get Matt Barkley some extra first team reps, or are you going to keep it the way you've done it?
We even it up the same way. Our first and second guys get the same amount of reps every week, so.
Chip, what do you think the role is changing for Brent Celek? Do you think it's changed at all recently or over the season?
No, I think, and I've said it before, I think Brent's been probably been one of our most consistent performers. You know, he's done an outstanding job for us blocking. Really, I think he's an underrated player for us. Made some big-time catches for us in traffic. So I think Brent's one of our more consistent and probably one of the better players that we've had on the offensive side of the ball.
We all more as a blocker, or more, is he still able to catch the ball as much at a high level?
It just depends on where the quarterback's distributing the football, but it's not like we're calling plays and saying, don't throw it to the tight end. So, you know, had a couple big catches. You know, the last time we played the Giants, had a touchdown catch against him, had a big third down catch against him, you know, on a crossing route, or actually a second down catch on him on the crossing route. So, you know, we expect him to be he can be a matchup problem, I think, at times if you're going to consistently play man because he is such a big target. So,
D'Amico's role as a leader, how do you see that with him? What does he mean?
Yeah, I think he's obviously the signal caller on the defensive side of the ball. You know, so the calls go through, you know, from Billy down to the field to D'Amico. And then he sets the front and sets where we're going and kind of makes, you know, sometimes there's some decisions that have to be made. You know, which way are we going with this? Are we going from the right? Where's the passing strength? Are we going from the tight end side and all those things? And, you know, it's D'Amico's job to get us into the right, you know, blitz or the right coverage and the right front, depending on how the offense deploys himself. And he's just done a great job. You know, he's a student of the game. He very rarely makes any mistakes from a mental standpoint. He's been fantastic, and he really has been the leader for us on the defensive side of the ball.
Look at the action for a good quarterback. Where do you rank confidence?
How many attributes do I have?
As many as you have.
I would, out of 100, I would rate it 7th. I just answered your question. Next question. No, I mean, confidence is up there with any athlete. I think it's a big deal, you know, and I think that's one of the things as you see. I mean, I think our defense is a prime example. I think they're playing more confidently now than they did earlier in the year, and that's what shows. I mean, I think part of it is just an understanding, and your preparation is what leads to confidence. It's not false confidence. It's really confidence based on demonstrated ability that you have proven to yourself that you can do this over and over and over again, and therefore you're confident that you can go out there. You know, I've met some guys that are extremely confident, but that doesn't mean that they're very productive players either. You know, I think there's a fine line, you know, and I think it is an attribute, but I think there's a lot of other attributes. I mean, you could be the most confident guy in the world, but you're not going to go out there and throw a football in front of 70,000 people. That's a different deal. I mean, I think it's really based on, I think, for those guys, having a real good understanding of what your ability is and what you can do and what you can't do.
Hey, Chip, you speak often about their ability. What's your concern that this is not going to be a week-to-week issue of muscle? You can be durable through the season?
I think so far, I mean, it's a muscle pull. So I think, I mean, that's all I've had since I've been around them. So I'm hoping that if, you know, we can clean up, and our guys in the strength room are doing some different things with him from that standpoint, you know, so that this thing doesn't occur again. So, you know, that's all we, as we move forward, that's what we try to do is we identify the problem and then we try to fix the problem. So
the past injury history is not something you can go off of?
But I don't know what I would go off of. So am I going to say, Mike, I don't think you should play this week because 3 years ago you got hurt? I mean, I go based on how he is today and how he's performing today. So
as far as Eli Manning, 3 weeks ago, you guys had a lot of success against him. He's such a good quarterback, though. Do you expect him to make a lot of adjustments here? I know you guys are probably doing the same, but do you expect him to...
Yeah, you expect the best. I mean, Eli's one of the top quarterbacks in this league. You know, and every time you have a chance to face him, it's a challenge just because he's so smart, he's so intelligent. He's going to get the ball out to the right people. But playing quarterback, playing any position, is a lot of it's what's around him, you know. And I know a lot of times he's had some guys up front been banged up, and you know, sometimes he hasn't had a chance to, you know, get to the top of his drop and throw the ball. They protected him a lot better in the Vikings game. I thought he played really well in the Bears game. So, but we expect a huge challenge whenever you face Eli.
Your guys defensively did a solid job on Crew, especially the way they did. But is it a pick your poison? Nick's had a big game. Ruben had a big game.
Yeah, and I don't think we're picking our poison. I don't think when Billy calls a defense, it's we're going to shut down Cruz and it's okay to throw to him. You know, I think it's a game when you play talented players, guys are going to make plays. You know, and it may be the other way. You know, Cruz may have more catches this week, and then the other guys are down. You know, that's what you hope. You hope that they're all not hot on the same day, because then it's a bad day for you. You know, I think our defense last week did a really good job on Witten, but you know, Dez still had, I think it was 9 catches. You know what I mean? It's very difficult when you have a lot of weapons. And that's what I think when you face good football teams on the offensive side of the ball, the more weapons they have, the harder it is to say, hey, we're going to take this guy away. If there's only one receiver over there that really warrants attention, you can say, hey, we're going to double that guy and we can shut him down. And then, you know, we feel like we're going to be okay in one-on-one coverage on those other guys. But I think when you have a couple different weapons, which they do, you know, and those three receivers, is I think what you have to do is you have to kind of mix it up. So
you only had offensive linemen as 15 starters, 15 snaps this season. How important is to have that continuity at that position?
I think it's important for anybody, you know, to have some consistency at all your positions. I felt like we've been like that, you know, since we kind of settled on where we were at receiver. You know what I mean? It's after we lost Mac and settled down, you know, I think Jason and Deshaun and Riley and those guys, same thing. You know, I think the same thing we've gotten out of the tight end position. We've been fortunate at the running back position. You know, it's the same thing. We've been a little bit unstable at quarterback. So I think it's any position group you have when you're not losing guys to injuries, and more importantly than injuries, is to practice time. You know, that's the one thing with most of these guys, their ability to go out there and practice on a consistent basis. So the more time you get to work with people and the more time you get a better understanding, you develop that confidence in terms of knowing what they're going to do and where they're going to be, and when we make this call, this is what's going to happen, just because they've had so much time together.
During the game, is it the responsibility of the assistant coaches to decide when players rotate in and out, or what's kind of the plan and process for that?
Yeah, our we talk about it as a staff, you know, way before the game, so we kind of know as a group what it is. But it's the individual position coaches that are doing the rotating on game day. You know, I'm not turning around and saying, hey, put this guy in, put that guy in. But I think we as a group have discussed it every week, you know, what are we doing here and how are we distributing the snaps and the reps. But, you know, Az is going to handle the D-line. Bobby Bicknell is going to handle the wide receivers. You know, that stuff's all done beforehand. And it's not a seat of the pants, hey, let's get this guy in. It's, you know, it's pretty thought out in terms of how we're going to rotate those guys. You know, and a lot of it is still a feel, too. You may think, hey, we're going to get six straight snaps out of them. But if it's a receiver and six of them were, you know, we call three or four long passes in a row, then Bobby knows he's got to get him out for a snap or two to give him a breather. But it's also, you know, you got to, each individual is different. You know, some guys can run a little bit better or a little bit longer, I think, than some other guys. So you just try to monitor from that standpoint.
Just go back to those Giants weapons that we were talking about, taking shots down the field with Randall and Cruz and Mix. Is that, when you look at what they still do well offensively, is that still going to be
amazing? Yeah, that's the one thing. You know, when they took some shots against us, when we played them, and I think that's what they do. I think when breaking down the Cowboys, the longest play against the Cowboys was a Cruz pass for a touchdown in that first game. You know, I think that's the one thing we've tried to pride ourselves on, is that we're not getting the ball thrown over our head. But this team, more than any team we played and we expected again on Sundays, is going to challenge us from that standpoint. Is they're going to try to take some shots over the top, and you know, we've got to be in position to make plays. And I know Bradley got tested, and I thought he did a really nice job, but they still completed a couple deep ones that you got to be really ready for. But you know, it's one of the things about Eli, he's such an accurate deep ball passer. You know, I think that's something that I think he enjoys it, and I expect him to take a couple more shots on Sunday.
Two more guys.
Said, I would say. I mean, there's a lot of them, but I think if you had me pick one, I would say consistently through seven games, I would say Said. Have I seen what?
A learning curve. Have you seen him improve?
Oh, I didn't know what I mean. I thought he had scoliosis or something. I've seen Trent do a lot of really good things. I mean, I just look at a couple just specific things from a linebacker standpoint is, you know, we were in a particular defense against the Cowboys, and they ran Witten on a vertical route down the middle of the field trying to go deep, and Trent matched him stride for stride and ran with him, you know, and he did a couple little, just the little nuanced things. They tried to throw a quick flare pass towards our boundary on one play, and he was in a peel blitz and ran with the running back stride for stride, and Romo had to throw the ball away. So I've seen Trent really improving on in terms of what we're asking him to do, and I think maybe his numbers aren't what people think his numbers should be, but I think his contributions in terms of how he's creating a lot of havoc in there, I think we've been really, really happy with him. So.
Is there a time frame for Nick Foles to take the neurological testing, and why hasn't he taken it?
He has to do a certain amount from a physical standpoint, and then they determine that the next step after you do a physical, where he is, what his symptoms are, then the next step is the impact testing, from my understanding. He hasn't taken the test yet, so. I know he did some physical stuff with our trainers today, and I know he's not going to practice today. That's as close as I am today. Okay?
Thanks.